Good morning and welcome. It is great to be here. Let me add my welcome to that of Graham's. My name's Luke Thompson, the senior minister here. If you're a guest here with us this morning, we're really glad to have you with us celebrating this most wonderful occasion. Let me pray for us as we come to reflect on the wonderful news of the resurrection. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful day of good news that Jesus is alive. Help us this morning as we reflect to know the joy of this news in our own lives, the joy that Jesus brings to all. Amen. This week, the world watched on as Notre Dame Cathedral, the famous cathedral in Paris, went up in flames. The building constructed in the 12th and 13th centuries is considered one of the finest examples of Gothic architecture. And there was incredible outpouring of emotion at the event, both in print and in social media. The French President Emmanuel Macron said, "Great emotion for the whole nation. Like all my fellow citizens, I am sad to see this part of us burn tonight." And the full extent of the artwork and relics destroyed or damaged has yet to be confirmed. The president later said, "We are a people of builders. We have so much to rebuild and we will rebuild. We will make it even more beautiful than before." Of course, it's not really possible, is it? I mean, what was lost in that fire cannot be replaced like for like. Now, they might rebuild it, but part of its charm and beauty was simply how old it was. What they rebuild won't be 900 years old. And it's the same with any loss of something meaningful. You simply can't replace something that has memories and emotions attached to it. A piece of jewelry that's gone through generations of your family. Photographs from before we all went digital. You can't replace some things. And nothing is more irreplaceable than a human life. The loss of a loved one is immeasurable and irreplaceable. It's impossible to bring them back. And that is exactly what the disciples thought on that very first day after the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, he was a man who they had followed for 3 years, a man they had seen heal the sick. He had calmed the storms. He had spoken words that people came back to life. He taught with an authority they had never heard from anyone. A man who was arrested, put on trial and condemned to death. A man who had nails in his hands and a spear in his side. A man who had clearly died to all who had seen him. And the disciples knew that death was permanent. The guards at the tomb knew it. They were only concerned about the body being stolen. And yet, the very next day, something happened that no one had anticipated. Now, Jesus had, of course, spoken about rising from the dead in 3 days' time, but no one knew what he meant, because death was permanent, as far as they knew. And the women who first went to the tomb were met not with a corpse, but with an angel. And after hearing the news that Jesus has risen, we read that they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Fear and joy. I mean, you can only imagine what's going through their heads in that moment. Could it be true? How could it be possible? And then the undeniable proof. Behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Jesus is alive. Christians don't believe in an idea. We believe in a person and an event. Jesus and the resurrection. Christianity is not merely a belief we hold without evidence. It's not a blind faith. It's a conviction that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. A conviction that Jesus died in our place and for our sin. A conviction that Jesus defeated death and rose back to life on the third day. A conviction that Jesus is alive today. That death is no longer permanent as it once was. Some people have tried to write off the resurrection, claiming that the disciples were probably just delusional in their grief. Now, presumably the Roman guards accepted the bribe because they knew that no one would believe in a resurrection. It's never happened before. But in the New Testament alone, there are too many accounts, too many witnesses to simply write it off that easily. Jesus appeared to ones and twos. He appears to 500 people at one time. He appears to disciples in a locked room. He appears on the seashore. He eats cooked fish. He shows up when they don't expect him and when they do expect him. Luke tells us that Jesus appeared for 40 days after his resurrection. You can only imagine how many people saw him in that time. And what they learned from Jesus as they heard him explain all that had happened. Now, there are too many accounts, too many witnesses, too much diversity to write it off that easily. Faith and religion have a very interesting place in our society. You are more or less free to believe whatever you want to believe, as long as it does not affect anybody else. Now, you can have a moderate level of faith, just don't be too extreme about it. If you're considered a very religious person of any faith, some people get a little scared of you because they don't quite know what to do with you. But if there is one thing that Christians cannot be, Christians cannot be moderate. We can't be half-hearted. It's an all or nothing affair. I mean, if Jesus did not truly physically rise from the dead, then we're all wasting our time here. But if he did truly physically rise from the dead, then surely this is the single most important event in all of human history. If he didn't rise from the dead, nothing else he did or said matters. But if he did rise from the dead, then we have to accept all that he said, all that he taught us about God and life in this world. Friends, Jesus did the impossible. He came back to life from the dead. No one had ever done this before. And he promised new life to all those who would trust in him. His resurrection is the first of many. Notre Dame may be rebuilt and restored, but it will never be the same. But what was lost is irreplaceable. But that's not so with us. Death is no longer as permanent as it once was. The promises of Jesus in the Bible are that all who trust in his death in their place will receive a resurrection and eternal life. We too will be restored. But we will not be the same. For our death is not just a death of our bodies. It is a death to sin and evil. It is a death to pain and suffering. And in the glorious resurrection, these will not be restored. The resurrection is a new and better life. In the book of Revelation, John, the author, describes what he saw of the new heavens and the new earth that await God's people. He writes, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" Does all of this sound a bit ridiculous? Impossible even? It ought to, because nothing like this has ever happened before. It is so outside human experience, so outside our expectation that someone might rise from the dead. But the four gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they give us such real and such vivid detail to the resurrection of Jesus. They tell a story that they themselves probably would not have believed had they not seen it for themselves. But they wrote it down in order that we might see, in order that we might believe, and that by believing, we too might find life in Jesus. Because Jesus is alive, and the promise is that we too will live with him forever. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that on that cross, almost 2,000 years ago, that Jesus died to defeat death once and for all. We thank you that 3 days later, he rose gloriously to show that all that he had done on the cross was finished, that our sin was dealt with, that our relationship with you was restored, and we could have peace and life for all eternity. Father, we thank you that Jesus rose from the dead and paved the way for us. Please help us look forward to the wonderful resurrection where there is no more tears or death or crying or pain. A life that is good and right with you. Amen.